Hey, Cornerstone. Today's Cornerstone Connection comes from Hebrews chapter 7. And in this chapter, we read about a man named Melchizedek. Melchizedek only comes up a few times in Scripture. Other than this passage, he comes up in Genesis 14, where we learn about him, albeit briefly. And then David mentions him in Psalm 110. Now, Melchizedek is a person who foreshadows the coming of Jesus. He's a prefigurement of Jesus, if you will. And so Melchizedek is introduced to us in Genesis 14 when he comes out to meet Abraham. So here's this guy who's a priest and a king. And he comes to Abraham after Abraham's been at war. And Abraham, the father of Israel, the father of many nations, this great man in the history of God's people, immediately recognizes that he is in the presence of somebody far greater than himself. And so he pays Melchizedek a tenth of all that he has. He tithes to him, and Melchizedek blesses him. You see, Melchizedek anticipates Jesus. There's a number of people and events in the Old Testament that actually anticipate the coming of the Christ, and Melchizedek is no exception. We read here in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 2, that Melchizedek's name means King of Righteousness. Does that sound like Jesus to you? Jesus is the King of Righteousness. He is the righteous one who is pure, never sinned. And not only that, through faith in him, he makes sinners become righteous. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For our sake, he who knew no sin," that's Jesus, "became sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God." Jesus is the King of Righteousness. Furthermore, Melchizedek was the King of Salem. The word Salem means peace. He's the King of Peace. And again, that points us to Jesus, who is the King of Peace. He told his disciples that peace he leaves with them. Furthermore, Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, that through faith in Jesus, we are at peace with God. You see, Jesus brings peace where there was once hostility. Our sins separate us from God. It made us hostile to God. But through faith in Jesus, that sin problem is erased and no more. And now we're at peace with our Heavenly Father. Melchizedek is an anticipation of what Jesus would bring as Jesus brought us his peace. Now, the author of Hebrews says something very interesting in verse 3. He says that Melchizedek is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God. He continues as a priest forever. Now, the author of Hebrews was using a Jewish literary method, which he was drawing things out based on silence. Melchizedek's story in Genesis 14 doesn't speak of him having a father or mother or genealogy. We don't know when he was born or when he died. But based on the silence of those things, the author of Hebrews draws out this parallel to Jesus. Now, did Melchizedek have a mom or dad? Yeah. Did Melchizedek have a birthday? Yeah. Did he have a day that he died? Yes. But Scripture doesn't write about those things. And because it doesn't write about those things, the author of Hebrews draws this out and points us to the one who does not have a father or mother, who's existed for all time, who's a priest forever, who has no beginning or end, who is the Son of God. Jesus is the great high priest. He is our king. He's a fulfillment of this Old Testament prophecy. In fact, David actually prophesied about this. He says in Psalm 110, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You," speaking of Jesus, "are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." We have a great high priest. And the author of Hebrews tells us about this priest in the line of Melchizedek. He says in verse 26, "It's fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy and innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens." Jesus is unlike any other person in human history, and he's far superior to Melchizedek. And we need to recognize that we are in the presence of Almighty God, who is our priest and our King, Jesus Christ. And when we recognize that we're in the presence of somebody far superior than ourselves, we will be led to worship. We'll be led to offer up our lives as a living sacrifice to Him, not just tithing our possessions, but using all things for His glory and for His honor to worship and magnify Him in this world. And so, church, I want to encourage you, just sit and think about who Jesus is. Dwell upon His greatness, His glory. See how the Old Testament talks about Him and anticipates Him. And look at the New Testament, see how it reveals Him. And in response to all that you see, worship Him.